Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zahmer as our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. And guess what? At 6 minutes past the hour of high noon, we are back at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zahmer's feels odd, but good to be home.
Welcome back.
Your dream. Yeah, it's good to have you back in person here. It's been
thank you.
It's been a couple minutes, a couple weeks.
It's been a minute, as the kids say. It's gonna be back. By the way, did you ever watch Welcome Back, Cotter?
No, I know it's the theme song from that show, but I haven't seen it.
Dial it up. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it's like a MeTV or something that used to be on like Nick at Night or other places.
It's on somewhere.
A great, great show. You know, John Travolta played Vinnie Barbarino or Barbarini or something like that. Arnold Horshack, you know, Washington. Great characters. Epstein. Great show. Welcome Back, Cotter. Of my childhood. I remember watching that. Yeah, it's good to be back. Been out here on the road across Wisconsin for a couple of weeks. Of course, we are here in Dane County, just south of Madison at New Glarus, the great Bailey's Run winery and vineyard. And then we went to Wisconsin Dells to the Dells Army Ducks. Great place up there. Went to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair at Chippewa Falls. Made a little stop in Eau Claire. Went over to River Falls, Trigvy Olson's hometown, for the 50th anniversary of River Falls Days. Then to Milwaukee to the Republican National Convention. And then spent all of last week at the Republican National Convention, star asterisk, except Friday. We tried to do the broadcast from Marquette University. Didn't quite work out. Jeff Perry says, by the way, our ongoing contributor on Facebook, in high school, Todd was a sweat hog. That's what they called themselves, the kids of the class.
Gotcha.
that Mr. Cotter taught, the sweat hogs. I was never cool enough to be a sweat hog in high school.
You know, the name sweat hog does not necessarily imply that you have to be cool to be it.
Well, that's true. That's true. And so we'll go into that maybe later at some point or later today on they're great, by the way, Marquette University, but Kevin at the marketing team was a little butthurt about having a Motion W on the Marquette campus and shut us down. So we got kicked off Marquette University. The good news is the police came and ran my record. I do not have any outstanding warrants for my arrest.
Yeah, they're just pretty run-of-the-mill ones.
Right, exactly.
I should have had a rim shot ready for that.
You should have. And then yesterday, we were back in WRCO, WRCE, and did the show from our great studios there in Richland Center. Had Dale Schultz and Phil Nee and Matt Flynn and a cast of characters. Trevi Olson was on the show yesterday. And now we're here back in the home studios of World Headquarters of Civic Media in Madison. And today it's going to be great. I literally haven't seen him in 2 weeks. It's going to be great to catch up with our friend and colleague Luke Mathers for another edition of Tuesday Tangents with Lukester coming up at 12:30. So that'll be great.
Yeah. Maybe find out what's grinding his gears.
We'll find out what's grinding Luke's gears.
If he painted his house yet.
We'll see. It's been raining a lot, you know, I understand, here in Madison.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not too hopeful his house is done. But maybe out in Sun Prairie, yes, or thereabouts, it's rained less. I don't know.
By the way, the 23rd of July is the birthday of my oldest favorite niece, Addison.
Happy birthday, Addison.
Yeah, I have a younger favorite niece and an older favorite niece. And my oldest favorite niece is Addison. She has a birthday today. We are up in Eau Claire with Mom celebrating that over the weekend. It was great. And then, I'm not sure what she's doing today, but happy birthday, Addison. I love you very much. She's a great young lady and an inspiration to us all. So that's a little personal shout out there. Lots of news we're going to get to today. Breaking right now, the leader of the Democrats, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and the House Minority Leader for the Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries, have now endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, wrapping up key support among Democratic leadership. In addition, late last night or early this morning, it's kind of all run together, former House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi also offered her blessing, endorsement, enthusiastic endorsement of Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee as well. Just this morning, it's been reported that the vice president has wrapped up enough delegates in the Democratic Party to be the presumptive Democratic nominee. It's over. Kamala Harris will be the Democrats' nominee to go against Donald J. Trump on the Republican side. A former attorney general, an attorney general in California, Kamala Harris, who took on one court cases and put behind bars multiple sexual predators. And she will face off, if Donald Trump has the courage, on a stage in September on ABC, toe-to-toe with a convicted sexual predator in Donald J. Trump. He does not want this, by the way.
Oh, I bet if they do have a debate on the stage together, I can't see it being anything but brutal.
Oh, he's already trying to get out of it. He's been up at, you know, all hours of the morning, wetting his pants, perhaps literally and figuratively, saying, well, it shouldn't be on ABC because he doesn't like Stephanopoulos now. It should be on Fox News. Then saying, well, this is just unfair. Republicans wringing their hands, saying this isn't fair. You can't do this. We've wasted all this time and money running against somebody who's not running. Look, that's their problem. And also, the latest problem for Trumpster, he thinks he may have picked the wrong vice presidential candidate because he thought he was going to run against Biden, did not expect Biden to do the noble thing, put country before self and step aside, which he did on Sunday, did not expect Trump, he didn't, to run against Kamala Harris. And so he picked J.D. Vance, the far-right conservative, MAGA, from Ohio, a guy who is on the record as saying he supports a national abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest. J.D. Vance, who has said on the record that he believes that women, even those involved in relationships that are abusive, should be forced to stay married to their abusive husbands. It turns out that is not the opinion of 50% plus one of Americans. And Trump made the bad calculation that he needed Vance to gin up the MAGA base, particularly in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So he threw him an olive. This is a guy, J.D. Vance, that is bought, paid for, and written up by the Heritage Foundation, the authors of Project 2025, of which several former Trump appointees and administration officials are a part of, and which will go into effect on day one should Trump get another term. So now Trump is down in Mar-a-Lago rethinking this. Says, maybe I made a mistake here. Meanwhile, breaking news just across the wires, it appears now from certain sources that the two top leading candidates to be the vice presidential pick of Kamala Harris for her vice president are Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Arizona United States Senator, former astronaut and fighter pilot Mark Kelly. I think they're both great choices.
I think so as well.
For different reasons, right? Shapiro, a very popular governor of one of the key states. I still say Wisconsin is the key state. I'm not just saying that because we live here. I'm basing it on facts and information I've seen from credible sources of how tenuous the vote here, how close it is in Wisconsin. And then probably the next most important state for Harris is going to be Pennsylvania, followed by Michigan, followed by Arizona. By picking Shapiro, it would go a long way in sewing up Pennsylvania. But Mark Kelly cannot be excluded from consideration because, A, he comes from a border state of Arizona. He's seen as a moderate Democrat, an American hero, a fighter pilot, a United States astronaut through NASA. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Matt Flynn, our ongoing contributor and friend, two-time Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, an attorney, and a great author, by the way. And I think maybe what a lot of people who have not been in politics may not understand is the importance of vetting. Any nominee for president goes through a lot of vetting, and they do the same for their vice presidential pick. The vice presidential picks may actually get more vetting than the presidential candidate, because the presidential candidate essentially wins through primaries and caucuses. And so then they get to vet who their vice presidential selection is. You don't want surprises. You don't want to find out that this person has some sort of a secret criminal past, was arrested for something salacious or embarrassing. You don't want to find out they have bad financial things. You don't want to find out that they're a national security threat. No one has been vetted more than Mark Kelly, simply because he was an astronaut and a fighter pilot. As Matt Flynn says, they don't just give those fighter, you know, those fighter planes, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes close to $1 billion wrapped up in one of those. You're not going to turn that over to somebody you can't trust. So Mark Kelly has been vetted. Also, his wonderful wife, Gabby Giffords, who was a congresswoman from Arizona and, of course, a victim of political violence, was shot, ended up resigning, is still a force within Democratic Party circles. So Mark Kelly has a lot to offer the ticket, both politically and also he's probably the least risk for Kamala Harris. Josh Shapiro, of all the people being mentioned or in the final category, Josh Shapiro may bring the biggest gain in terms of potential electoral votes, important electoral votes from Pennsylvania. Probably more important for Kamala Harris to win Pennsylvania at this point than Arizona. We'll come back, take your calls, and talk about the breaking news. Also, Luke Mathers at the bottom of the hour. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We're back at the world headquarters. This is the All Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 12 noon from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. We thank you for taking us along over your lunch hour. Always a pleasure to be along with you. Again, breaking news at this hour, Senate Leader Chuck Schumer and Democratic Leader in the House Hakeem Jeffries have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris in her bid to be the Democratic nominee for president. According to sources, the vice president has touched down at the airport in Milwaukee. She is coming to West Dallas to give what was essentially the first of her actual campaign speeches since becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee. She was in Delaware yesterday. She went to talk to what would have been Joe Biden's campaign staff, and which is now largely her campaign staff. I think this is very smart. She's keeping many, if not most, of the top Biden advisors and just simply transferring it all over to her account and to her. She'll have her own people, of course, but I think it's smart to also keep Biden's people. So she very smartly flew to Delaware yesterday and gave a speech within that headquarters. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, joined via phone as he continues to recuperate from COVID. By the way, he says he will address the nation later this week, live and in person on television. But today, this was an already scheduled event to be here as the vice presidential candidate. But today, Kamala Harris lands now in Milwaukee on her way to West Dallas. to give her first true public campaign speech as the presumptive presidential nominee. Mr. Zomers is monitoring it. Our own Stuart J. Waddles from Civic Media News is on the ground there at the site as well. And we plan to bring you the remarks in large part of the vice president when she gives those shortly after 1 o'clock, Mr. Zomers. Is that what we're being told?
Yep. And that's what the feed that I'm monitoring is saying at the moment.
All right. Sounds good. We will keep track of that. Sometimes these things go a little long or a little early, but Zomers, of course, is all over it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Going to go to the phone lines in a minute. The other big story breaking just before we went on, Secret Service Chief has resigned after criticism over the Trump shooting failures. The head person of the Secret Service, she appeared on Capitol Hill yesterday. It was not good. Both Republicans and Democrats on the committee called for her resignation, and today she has done so. Mr. Zomers, let's go back up to the text real quick here before we go to the phone lines. There was a couple of texts I wanted to get to. I think it was further down. Let's see here. What we got? Oh, well, good morning, Todd and Aaron from Sherry and Horicon. Oh, good morning, Sherry. Always great to hear from you. Somebody says, Kurt in Madison listening on MDX says, I don't think it'll be Kelly as the vice presidential nominee, Mark Kelly of Arizona, because they need to keep the Senate intact. Great point, Kurt. But again, remember, in Arizona, the governor would appoint a replacement for Kelly, and right now that person is a Democrat. So the Democratic governor in Arizona could replace Kelly with a Democrat. That's part of the reason why he is being under consideration. 855-752-4842. Our friend Gene up in Eau Claire listening on the tap in Chippewa Falls. Gene, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hi, I'll keep it short. I just wanted to compliment you on your outstanding and dedicated work covering Wisconsin. It was outstanding.
Well, thank you.
A great job with people. It's entertaining. I hope people get a chance to watch you. I love it on YouTube. You know, you guys, both of you guys in your studio there, and then all of your guests just do an outstanding job. I look forward to hearing you every day. So keep up the great work. And I do have to say one quick thing, and that is, you know, the Republicans sure did a really great job vetting Donald J. Trump.
Right.
And this new guy they got on there. I don't even want to acknowledge him as like somebody that's going to lead our country.
Right.
Boy, I'm excited. I love Joe Biden. I thank him for everything he's given us, and he's still going to be there, and I'm glad he's going to continue on with his presidency. And I just can't get over that Republicans are trying to kick him out of the presidency. They are so ridiculous. I cannot believe it. I can't wait till sanity comes all the way around and everybody votes blue down the ticket, and I'm an independent, and I'm voting blue, 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 so we can take back our country. So thank you for the great work you're doing, and you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Yeah, I mean, Republicans were caught off guard. Trump was caught off guard. Chris LaCivita running Trump World. This was their worst nightmare politically, was to run against someone else other than Joe Biden. Let's go quickly to the West Coast, L.A. Tom. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Absolutely. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that means everybody. And I think for even you mega Republicans out there, or even sensible Republicans, come on over. We believe in democracy. We're democracy warriors. We are not about an authoritarian dictator. And I know that deep down, you know, you don't want to be run by an authoritarian dictator, because once they come for the LGBTQ people, and once they come for all of those other minorities, they will come after you as well. But I wanted to say one thing, Todd. This morning, a woman called on Earl's show, and I thought she said it perfectly. It was an older woman, and she said, Earl said something about, you think that it'll make a difference because she's a woman. And the woman said, you know what? I'm voting for the best human being. And I thought, wow, that's exactly where we've come in this country. And that's exactly where we want to be in this country. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I used to say hush, hush, the pronouns and all that kind of stuff, even being from the LGBTQ+ community. But you know what? It's about being a human being.
Right.
And it's about equality. And Kamala Harris has been wonderful in the state of California. She was a wonderful attorney general. Mm-hmm. She went after the big banks. She went after the criminals like Donald Trump, the sex predators.
Right.
And I am just so proud that she is going. And she lived in Wisconsin from age 2 to right. age 5. And she even remembers when right. she lived there.
And she stopped by her old home when she was in Madison.
Very, very excited. Yep.
Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure. L.A. Tom, let's go quickly to the old hometown. Listening on WRCE, Eric in Richland Center. Eric, always a pleasure to have you call in. What say you? Had a comment about the Secret Service chief stepping down.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, I thought that it was kind of bizarre.
How so?
Well, you know, the committee meeting and everything yesterday, everybody grilled her. But, you know, she said as much as she could say, given the guise of the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they were all right. You know, I was told and have heard all over on the news that there were police officers in the building, local police officers, you know, but somebody, the chain of command, the communications between all the sources just didn't pan together quick enough.
Right.
Even though the Secret Service knew about it.
Yeah. A pleasure, Eric. Thank you very much. You know, I go back to Harry Truman. I believe it was Truman. Matt Flynn could correct me if I'm wrong, who had the sign on his desk in the Oval Office that said, "The buck stops here." And when you get that high up into the federal government in particular, I think that Director Cheadle simply knew that both with Republicans and Democrats calling for the resignation, someone had to take the fall for the misstep in the attempted assassination on Trump, and she was it. By the way, Deputy Director Ronald Rowe has been tapped to lead the agency, according to CNN. Back with Mr. Luke Mathers on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of high noon. Glad to have you along with us from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. If it's Tuesday, it's Luke Mathers. It is time for Tuesday, yes indeed, Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. We're back here in Madison. I have not seen you, Lukester, physically in a couple of weeks. Anything happened while I was gone?
Just a couple of things since we tangented last here on the airwaves. 2 weeks ago. Like, yes. I cannot think
2 weeks.
The year that unfolded right? in the last 14 days. But it's good to be back with you, Todd.
Well, it's good to be back with you. I mean, run down, you were saying before we went on the air here, run down this list of what the world looked like the last time you and I sat here and talked.
We did not have a vice presidential nominee mm-hmm. on the Republican side.
Correct.
The former president had not yet been an assassination attempt shooting at his life.
Right.
And Joe Biden was still the nominee the presumptive nominee right. for the Democratic Party. So it's been a wild couple of weeks. And those are just like the top three line right. items. And now we have the Vice President Kamala Harris is here in Wisconsin today. It is
yes.
no semblance of slowing down, Todd. So I don't know what these next 105 days, I think we're out till the election. 105, 104, something like that. It's going to be a wild.
I've tried to tell the story on the air before. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but my former boss, Dale Schultz, who was on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. former state senator, tells this great story. He told it years ago when I worked for him because, you know, younger staffers would say, Dale, let's get, you know, that's a year from now. That's, you know, we can't get something done. You know, it's going to take that long to get it done or that'll never happen. You know, he told this great story, and simply to kind of cut to the chase and paraphrase, he told this great story of a sultan who gave a court jester, a fool, his life, who had committed a crime because the jester said, if you spare my life, I'll teach your horse to talk. And the sultan said, what do you mean? And the jester goes through all this stuff, and the sultan says, hey, what's 1 year of your life to me, you know, if you really can teach my horse to talk? And so the guy gets freed and his friends rush up and say, you know, you truly are a fool. You know, you're never going to get that horse to talk and you're going to be killed. And the jester punchline basically is, Am I really the fool? Within a year, the Sultan could be killed by an assassin's knife. There could be a great disease that comes through and kills people. And hey, you never know. The horse might talk. So, I mean, a lot can happen politically in a year, and yes. It only took 2 weeks.
I was going to say, it only took 2 weeks for this one to unfold. Yeah, it's been a wild couple of weeks, but a lot to talk about. There's no shortage of things to tangent about. So,
what do you want to go to first? So let's just get right at it. What did you make of President Joe Biden's, in my opinion, display of ultimate selflessness and courage and putting country before self and relinquishing to Kamala Harris for the nominee?
I think the last 3 weeks have probably, and Joe Biden has been around the block a few times.
Yes.
He's an elderly man and he's seen a lot and he's gone through a lot of hardship. And that is part of his political acumen has been his ability to relate to people and talk about persevering through that hardship. And with all that said, I think these last 3 weeks have still been probably some of the hardest 3 weeks of his life, mm-hmm. because there was a jolting realization after the debate, and not just for Joe, but for the people around him. I think that there was a very large sense that as an incumbent, as the current president who has had the 3.5 years of track record that he's had, that he as he said, wanted to finish the job. Mm-hmm. And I think it became clear through, I don't know if what all the culmination of events that led up to it, of how that early debate got picked, but there was some degree of understanding that there was enough of a runway for the last 3 weeks to unfold the way that they did with an earlier debate than had that first presidential debate of this cycle happened any later.
Right.
And so I think it's been a very difficult 3 weeks. I think there's been a lot of interesting hot takes for people to say over those past 3 weeks. Like, everybody's a pundit. Everybody becomes these armchair experts. And it's so fascinating to see that part unfold, because folks, the internet's forever. All of your hot takes over the last 3 weeks, those are still out there somewhere online or over the airwaves or wherever you posted them. Yeah. So it's very interesting to kind of see how the things unfolded. I think that the people around President Biden after the debate tried to encourage him to make this decision a little bit quicker, but those conversations seemingly weren't very fruitful, and that's when we started seeing more public reports, which made it more of a feeding frenzy for everybody that considers themselves a pundit or wanting to talk about this issue since the debate got involved. And so I do think it was a very difficult decision. It is important that we are a country that does not focus on one person specifically, Todd, because you don't want to have a cult of personality leading your country like that. And that
unlike some political parties,
that's my perspective. That is my perspective, that it is bad to have the idolization and the creating of a hero of your politicians to the degree that some political parties do. And you see it around the world too. It's not just here in America, but I think it's important to recognize that there are things at play that are bigger than any individual, and that doesn't matter if you are the president all the way down to some Joe Schmo off the street.
Yeah.
And so the selflessness of the president's decision to on Sunday announce that he was no longer, and he's going to be addressing the nation tomorrow. I think it's going to be a very interesting speech to hear when he has the opportunity to kind of come out and. And I believe it's going to be an Oval Office address. I don't know if it.
I think you're going to see the old Joe. I think he's just going to feel this weight lifted off. I think he's going to be smiling and cracking jokes, and I think he's going to look great.
I think it's going to be probably the speech of his legacy, though, too.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot packed into however long he talks to the nation tomorrow night. And we don't get those very often.
No.
You don't get a presidential address very often these days. It's hard to break through the noise. Everybody's siloed into their media ecosystems. They get the information where they want. It's going to be interesting to see his demeanor and how he is reacting tomorrow night when it comes to addressing the nation. But this has got to be 3 very difficult weeks for the president. And at the end, I do agree that it was a extremely selfless decision that the president made.
I mean, we had Dale Schultz on yesterday. He was the former state Senate majority leader. He chose not to seek re-election internally to that position and then decided in 2014 not to run for re-election. Anyway, he just spoke about what that was like just at the state Senate level. I can't imagine when you're at the presidential level to voluntarily decide to give up power. I think you're absolutely right. That can't be underestimated. A page is turned. It is flipped. The excitement is off the charts, it appears. The fundraising is off the charts. Mr. Zomers, can we cue up the old Lincoln Project ad that came out, I believe, yesterday, the day before? This is what the Lincoln Project has to say about the launch of Kamala Harris for president. We'll get Lukester's take on the other side. Here's the ad from Lincoln Project.
No one wanted it this way. Joe Biden is a good man, a good American, a great president. But time and the burden of the office means it's time to step aside, to put a warrior into the political arena, ready to take on Donald Trump, to face up to the un-American plan Trump and Project 2025 will impose. Vice President Kamala Harris is ready, experienced, and as a tough prosecutor, Kamala Harris dealt with men like Trump all the time. Rapists, con men, frauds, criminals. She's used to guys like Trump. Used to putting them in their place.
Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America?
Kamala Harris will bring something to Trump he's rarely seen. Justice.
Luke Mathers, what do you think?
Seems like they had that ready.
Seems like... now we maybe know why Rick Wilson wasn't in Milwaukee last week.
Hey, you're telling me you can't put that together on the fly, Rick? Come on, you couldn't have done that in a remote booth in Milwaukee? All right, fine. It seems I believe that is a very compelling message, and it's going to be interesting to see the last 3 weeks, the amount of poll. This is another thing that we still really haven't got a grip, Todd, on the polling.
No, not yet.
But like polling in general, like not even polling with this specifics now. Right. Like polling in like there was a lot of in 2022 when we unpacked why a lot of folks thought that there was going to be a red wave, and then it was more of a red ripple.
Right.
the polling, like, and yes, when you all of a sudden average things out, I get it. They were pretty on, but for the most part, there was a lot of places where they overestimated a lot of different things. Mm. For these last 3 weeks, I think we replicated a lot of those errors in the polling because, again, polling is a science. There's no, it's not perfect. You have to be able to tweak things in different ways.
As Charles Franklin from the Marquette Law School poll reminds us constantly, polls are a snapshot in time.
Right. And it's an art, though, too.
Right.
The way that you ask the questions, yes, if you do it well. And so there's a lot of good polls out there, but there's even more really, really bad polls out there. Right. And so
to make things look the way that the person that paid for it wanted to look.
Exactly. And so I think over the last 3 weeks, we probably saw a lot more of the latter there, the bad polls, where depending on where you were coming at on all of these things, the way you wanted to frame what should happen next. Because again, you got so many armchair experts out there that that's just not the case.
All gotta take. Go ahead, sorry.
And so I just think it's going to be very interesting to see now how compelling that message is now that it's not a hypothetical.
Right.
Now that it's not, maybe if Biden steps aside, what would you think about a Harris-Trump matchup? 70% of Americans wanted not a rematch of 2020.
And they got it.
And now they have it. So it's going to be very interesting to see how compelling messages like that and just the good polls that are going to be coming now that this is actually happening say what the race looks like now.
One of our texters, Chris, listening on WMDX, makes a great point. Shout out to Dr. Jill Biden as well, the first lady, because I'm sure that she had a large part. If there's one person that President Biden listens to, It's Dr. Jill Biden, his wife, and I'm sure they came to this agreement as a family and as a couple.
Yes.
So I agree. Shout out to her as well. Mr. Sommers, we have time for this clip. To the point, Luke, here was Kamala Harris, now the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, yesterday in Delaware.
Before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
I mean, now that's a person I want at the top of the ticket. Exactly. And already the Trumpster late night tweets wanting to get out of the debate. He is a convicted felon. He does not want to go up against an attorney general who put people like him behind bars.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I do have to say before Biden's announcement on Sunday and all of these events that had unfolded since Sunday, the Republican response to not picking a vice presidential debate date, I thought was really, like, hats off to them, because that was some trolling. Right. It came from a level of confidence, and I don't know if they have that same confidence less than a week later.
No.
So it definitely, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the debate schedules. There's no doubt that Trump is going to try to get out of it, but I think that there's going to be a lot of public call for another debate with the reshaping of the field that has occurred.
Yeah. Donald Trump, he's afraid of strong women, and he doesn't want to debate. You know what Donald Trump is? He's a panty waste. That's exactly what Donald Trump is. By the way, we're going to plan on taking Kamala Harris's remarks live just after 1 o'clock, so stay with us for that. More on the other side, Luke Mathers, what is grinding his gears? It's the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, news, weather, and sports, and stand by. Vice President Kamala Harris, now the presumptive Democratic nominee for President of the United States, is landed in Milwaukee. And according to on-site reports, our own Stuart J. Waddles of our Civic Media News team is there covering it, as well as Carmella, a loyal listener from Waukesha, says, Todd, I'm here in West Dallas awaiting for Vice President Harris to arrive. I'm here, lots of cheering, maybe her car has arrived. I'm holding on to your words about building a coalition to beat Trump. It's electric here. So much excitement for our presidential nominee. Carmella, always a pleasure to have you listening. Thank you so very much. Thanks for the on-site reporting. Luke, I'm going to go to the phones in a second. But first of all, what about this electricity? I mean, from the fundraising to the quickness that Kamala Harris has built a coalition. She already has in her pocket the required delegate count to be the nominee. All the major Democrats now have come out basically and endorsed her. That she has cleared the field of opponents. I've never seen anything come together. I mean, it is like a wild prairie fire out there, Luke.
Well, I think that there was somebody tossed around the word of the week last week as being unity. And I think there was kind of a, I don't know how it exactly unfolded, but I think it seems like the Democratic Party kind of said, hold my beer.
Yeah, right.
I'll show you unity.
Right.
So it's definitely like $100 million raised, I believe, by the campaign within like
fastest
the first
ever on either side.
And just an incredible amount of groundswell support from all areas, too, it seems like. Mm-hmm. It's not just that you're hearing about it from folks that are upset with this. Republican elected officials, campaigners, like all the people that were really hoping. Like, again, one of the things we saw in the last 3 weeks was the amount of polls that were coming out saying, we want Joe Biden to stay in the race.
Right.
And then when you kind of looked through the crosstabs, all of a sudden it was, well, there's a lot of Republican voters saying that they want to see Joe Biden in the race.
Nikki Haley's PAC has come out and endorsed Kamala Harris, for whatever that's worth.
It is total chaos.
What?
Thank you for Nikki Haley. Yeah, her PAC.
I did not
her
see
PAC
that. Her PAC.
Not her, but
right,
her
right,
PAC.
No, her. And she went to the convention in Milwaukee last week.
Who controls the Nikki Haley PAC? Last time I checked, Nikki Haley. So that's one to put in your pocket.
That's incredible.
855-752-4842. Tom, listening on MDX in Madison. Tom, quickly, what say you?
Oh, yeah, I think it's amazing. What a story we're watching right now. It also points out the deficiency when it comes to vice presidents.
Right.
I mean, can anybody imagine, you know, their record? They were a heartbeat away from having Sarah Palin as president at one point. And
right.
Now we're a heartbeat away from J.D. Vance? I mean, come on.
Tom, I nearly forgotten that nightmare. Thanks, I won't sleep tonight. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Tom. Really, really appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul. Wisco, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hey, Todd, thanks for your show. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, Joe talked to Jill, and Jill, who knows him best, said, hey, you can't do this for another 4 years, and the election is too important. And Trump certainly does not want to run against Kamala. I'll guarantee you that. So thanks for your show, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, always appreciate your listenership, Wisco. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It is now 6 before the hour of 2 o'clock. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm sure he's got a lot of things stored up. Luke Mathers, what is grinding your gears?
All right. This was the phenomenon from 2017.
Phenomenon. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Phenomenon. Da, da. I'm sorry.
From 2017 until the end of his presidency, for former President Donald Trump, not only was there a recurring, next week's going to be infrastructure week, there was this media narrative that occurred a lot of, this is the moment Donald Trump just became president.
Oh, yes.
Mind you, he was already president.
Once.
I'm saying this was while he was president.
Oh,
like,
right,
during his first term, it was a media narrative when Trump did something slightly the correct way, the norm way. It was, did Donald Trump just become president? Talking about a man that was already the leader of the free world at that point.
Yes.
And I got these flashbacks last week during national coverage of the RNC in Milwaukee, where these media outlets were doing the same exact thing again, Todd, he's going to call for unity. It's going to be a flip of a script. It's going to be a different Donald Trump. Did Donald Trump just become presidential? Like, it was just
mind-numbingly when Luke gets ginned up. Go ahead.
Frustrating to hear that narrative. And then Thursday night, the former president takes the stage after these pre-planned remarks are shared. Oh, there's going to be a message of unity. It's going to happen.
Hulk Hogan, Dana White.
20 minutes into his remarks on Thursday night from the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee, all it took was 20 minutes for all of that spin, all of the bait that was taken by national media outlets and some local media outlets, to be fair.
Right.
This is Trump finally becoming presidential? No, he was already president. He is the same person. When somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Like, grinding my gears last week, Todd, was this nature, or this notion that all of a sudden the nature of Donald Trump was going to change. And it didn't. It took 20 minutes into his remarks for him to get back to a stump speech where he demeaned and denigrated immigrants that are coming to this country. He used all of the political rhetoric that we were going to no longer have anymore. It was going to be gone. They were turning the page in unity. And it just was so frustrating, Todd, to see that as a lens. And then all of a sudden, Lucy with the football, this is the same old Donald Trump that we're hearing in his remarks at the Pfizer Forum on Thursday night. It really ground my gears.
I couldn't tell.
But it's going to be interesting because there's going to be a question of which party is unified. Because over the last 3 weeks, it's been a lot of Dems in disarray narrative coming up again. But the last 48 hours have shown pretty much anything else but disarray.
You know what, girl, my gears?
What's that?
My Grindr app went off like crazy last week in Milwaukee, and I had no time to see anybody. I mean, the amount of... This was a legit story. Grindr is a gay... We'll call it a dating app. And the amount of Southern Baptists and MAGA guys who were looking for a little fun was off the charts. It was grinding. Mathers, always glad to have you on Tuesday Tangents.
Appreciate it, Todd.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 is the All Balls Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.